Welcome to the Taming Tribulation Podcast. I am your host, Wyatt Hammond.
And I'm your co-host, Jeremy Crossley.
In Season 2, we are using biblical stories about trials and tribulations that characters have gone through, how they confronted them and overcame their own personal obstacles, so they can become the people that God uses for His purpose. Not perfect people, but imperfect people being used to do His will.
Our intention with these stories is to pass on to the listener the understanding that God uses the hardest and most difficult moments in our lives to refine us into the people we were meant to be.
We hope that you can be encouraged to see where God can use your tribulations for His purpose. Hi everyone, and welcome to Season 2 of Taming Tribulation. If you're just joining us, we're just finished Season 1, and this is the first episode of Season 2. So we're going to talk a little bit about what we learned from Season 1 before we move on to this episode. Jeremy, let's talk about a couple episodes from Season 1 and what we got from them. So in Season 1, we spoke to people like Neil D'Souza. That title is Almost Murdered in a Gang Fight to a Happy and Fulfilling Life. We also spoke to Barry Adkins. The title of that one is Make Something Good Come from Your Child's Death. We also spoke to Stanley Andres, and the title of that one is From 10-Year Prison Sentence to Medical Professor. We did 11 episodes in Season 1, and all of the stories are people telling us about tragedies that happened in their life and how they turn those tragedies into something good. We're taking a different approach with Season 2, and before we get into that, Jeremy, let's briefly talk about what we liked and what we got from Season 1.
Yeah, no, I got a lot of wild stories from Season 1. I think it was so amazing. I've heard a lot of people give me some insight about how the actual season went. Like so many different stories of people experiencing their trauma and how they overcome it, which is what we're here for, right? And I don't want to say I have a favorite episode, but I loved everybody's story, and I've learned just a little bit more about how to persevere through certain moments of my life. I know I haven't experienced everything they have experienced, but I definitely hear a lot of insight from other people, and they were just blown away by the stories of the men and women we had on our show. And they were super encouraged to hear like what they can do to try to better their lives. So for me, the insight I got, it was just really trying to find a method that's not currently in existence that I know of, in which you try to make awareness to people that, you know, they're never alone, but also just encourage people to know that they can pull through, you know. And it was wild. Every single day I try to show people that, you know, we all go through trauma in one sense or another, and you know, we don't want to be stuck. So I loved it. I loved how Season 1 went. I loved how the vulnerability of both us and the guest was being. And I think it was, it was just really inspiring, really encouraging. And I'm so grateful. And yeah, I'm looking forward for Season 2 too. It's going to be great for sure.
Yeah, man, that was, I'm very happy with how Season 1 went as well. We really talked to some pretty amazing people, and coming out of that one, learning about the types of things people can go through and not let it ruin their lives, specifically ones like Barry, who lost his child to an alcohol accident when his son was 18. Even talking to Fiona Denmark, right, getting to speak to a blind person, and how somebody goes through their life completely blind, and what kind of difficulties come with that. I think even simple things like that are things that we look over all the time, and when you meet somebody who says, oh, I lost my child, or I was sexually abused, or these kinds of things, you know what kind of resilience they must have. But it's not often that you get to even meet a blind person. They're not all over the place, and so I don't often think about the difficulties that people have that don't involve those massive tragedies, but they still have to live their day they still have to live their life every day in a far more complicated way than most people, and getting to learn about that was really cool as well. So We hope that you feel the same way, listeners, that you got some cool things from season one and that you're able to adapt some of those things into your life and realize that maybe some of the tragedies or some of the problems that you have aren't as intense as maybe you make them out to be. And if they are, then there's strategies on how to make it easier for yourself and how to grow your strength rather than trying to make your problems easier. So with all that being said, let's move into an introduction of season two. So what Jeremy and I are doing for season two is instead of talking to people that have been through tragedies themselves and having a conversation with them, Jeremy and I are both young Christians ourselves. We've only been Christians for a couple of years. I grew up my whole life in the Christian church, but only recently made that a part of my life. And Jeremy also within the last 5 years became a Christian as well. And so what we're doing with season two is taking stories from the Bible of great men and women that truthfully were very flawed, very sinful and broken people. So what we're trying to accomplish with reading these stories of biblical characters is comparing their stories to our own lives. And that in these stories, God gives these people opportunities to make choices to do what he wants them to do or to do what they want to do. And a lot of these stories are about people that have to face their fears and build their faith in order to accomplish what God wants them to. So the first character that Jeremy and I chose to talk about is the character David. Now, the reason we chose David is because he's one of the most well-known biblical characters, and he's quite an influential character in the story of the Bible. He's got a lot of cool stuff that happens to him that we can take and use in our own lives. And Jeremy, tell me why you chose David with me.
I can definitely resonate with David, feeling like the person who is just leading the sheep astray, right? Leading the sheep the best I can. But I think it's really remarkable seeing someone come from the youngest of brothers to becoming king of all Israel, right? And just seeing how many lessons that David has literally gone through. If you read the book of Psalms, you just go from him being extremely frustrated with God to him being completely in love with God and submissive to God, even though he did all the things he did. And it definitely shows a level of God's love and forgiveness for all his people. So I love David. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible for sure.
Awesome, dude. Well, I'm excited to go through this story with you. What we're going to do is just give a little bit of backstory on some of the main characters in David's story and why they're important. And then we'll jump in to where David becomes king of Israel. So the first character that you need to know about, if you don't know the story of David, is a prophet named Samuel. There's not much else you need to know about Samuel other than he's a prophet of the Lord. He's a bit of a wacky character in the Bible. And if you do more research about him, then you'll find out as much as you need to know. But really all you need to know is this one, is that Samuel is a representative of God. And he is the one who God uses to choose David as king. The second character that you should know about in this story is Saul. Saul, at the time of David being anointed king, is the current king. Saul is a king that God chose for Israel because the nation wouldn't stop bothering God asking for a king. So he gave them what they asked for. They asked for Saul. God gave them a king to show them that no human king can do what he does for them. And Saul eventually loses God's favor. God needs to find another king for Israel, and he's chosen David. So now you know who Samuel and Saul are in this story. And if you want to know more about their background and who they are in these stories more specifically, go read 1 and 2 Samuel.
Starting now in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' invite Jesse to the sacrifice. I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, and Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before the Lord, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all of the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendant said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent him with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come on Saul, he would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him.
That's a cool part of the story, because it gives David an opportunity to get in front of the king. And there's cool parts in Bible stories where regular people are put in unordinary positions just because of where God placed them. And in this one, it's like there's no way to get in front of the king of all Israel, but he is suddenly tormented by something. And one of the servants knows that there's a kid that plays an instrument well and it's relaxing. So just by coincidence, he goes and gets him. And now this king, this kid who's already been anointed king in secret, is now playing the instrument for the real king, or the proxy king. And there's no other way that would have happened. So that's one thing that strikes me there. What do you get from that?
That part, dude. What I think is funny about this entire thing is he's still out there with a sheep. You know, right. Like you can imagine anybody who's like anointed king, even if it's in secret, they'll be walking around thinking they're higher and mighty, right, than their brothers, you know, and David's just still doing his job. Whatever he took out of that being anointed part, I don't know. It looks like he was just waiting for his time. So he must have been a very patient man to begin with. And I mean, let's be honest. It said he was a warrior and the spirit was with him, right? But he also played the lyre, which is right. Like,
doesn't sound like a manly instrument.
Yeah, it's like a wimpy little harp. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, a lyre? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's your gift, and that's your gift, right?
So like it's like a bodybuilder playing a clarinet.
Yeah, like it's like, or even better, the recorder.
Right. <yes.
laughs> And it's like, dude, it's like, I didn't see that one coming, but, you know, go for it. I mean, this is one of those things where that's your talent that you're given. That's one of your gifts. And it could be used in the most radical ways. Get rid of demons, get rid of your spirit. So I think that was something I was just like, what? Like, he's a warrior. He's like, the spirit of God is among him. And he's like this great looking dude. And he plays the harp with a lyre. I'm like, what?
So I thought that was got it all together.
Yeah, he's got it all together. And then he gets, you know, he gets there and he just plays a few little strings and you know, Saul gets all better. And he's just, now he's like, you know what? I'm going to keep this kid around. So he does, which is pretty crazy.
We're ending this episode at chapter 17. And the next part of the chapter starts with David and Goliath and how David becomes famous for that part of the story. So catch episode 2, moving on with the David story. And thanks for listening.